We got a special Stain Gang podcast as we get ready for the Welcome Back Dinner, which is coming up Sunday night at 6 o'clock at D.L. Ligon Coliseum. And this year, a special guest, Babe Laufenberg, who had a nine-year professional football career, part of it with the Dallas Cowboys, and also had a distinguished broadcasting career that's still in progress as he does the color commentary on the Cowboy radio broadcast, along with the great Brad Sham, the best NFL broadcast, period, bar none. And, Babe, I'm one of those nerds. I turn down the TV sound and turn up the radio and listen to you guys. North Texas has been blessed with a lot of great broadcasting tandems, but Brad and Babe are at the top of that list.
Pete, I don't look at that as being a nerd. I look at that as a very smart man. That's the way I see that. And hey, I like the way you said you had a great broadcasting career in the past. I thought, had? I said, did I get fired and I didn't know about it?
No, but you did. You had, 25 years as a TV sports anchor, right?
Yeah, I did the anchoring at CBS 11 and finally just burned out on working at night and you know, getting home at 1 in the morning. And then, but still, obviously, I think I'm in my 28th year coming up on the Cowboys radio network.
Wow, 20, you know, yeah. What? I did not realize, starting to do the math on that. And that brings me to a point that I know you're probably somewhat familiar with Midwestern State and Wichita Falls, because I'm guessing you were covering the Cowboys when they had training camp here.
Absolutely. And we will be indoors Sunday, won't we?
We will be indoors.
Okay,
we're not going to make you sit in the 105-degree heat.
Well, we did that for three training camps there at Midwestern State?
Yeah, I believe so. I want to say it was 98 through 2001, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. And but I do remember the one summer. Obviously, if you're in Texas and you're in there in the summer and it's August, it's going to be hot. Doesn't matter where you go, right? But that was, we had one especially brutal summer where it was about 108 degrees, I mean, every day. And I'll never forget, they opened with the Philadelphia Eagles, and they got crushed. But
was
we were
that
there
the pickle juice game?
Pickle juice game, yep. Because it was, it was hot. Texas Stadium was one of the hottest places on the planet. Because once they put the suites in there, it closed off all the air circulation. You know, it was an open air stadium, but then once they put the suites, it closed off all the air coming in, and it was hot. But anyway, so we're sitting there on Friday practice, watching Friday practice, and John Madden was going to be doing the game, and he's out there practice, and he just turns to me and says, "Babe, that's a tired football team." And I thought, I mean, when you're used to seeing them every day at practice, I probably didn't notice how much they got worn down, throughout practice, which is obviously now a big reason why they hold it in Oxnard.
Right.
75 degrees, and you get a lot of work done, and nobody passes out. But and then, lo and behold, that pickle juice game, I forget the final, but I think it was like 40 to 10 or something. And,
I think Aikman got sacked like 9 times or something.
It was a brutal game all the way around. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason the hotter than hell 100 is here in Wichita Falls in late August.
That's what I always tell people. When if they don't know Wichita Falls, I said, let me just tell you, the hotter than hell 100 bike race is there. And that tells you a little bit. Now, I said, it's hot all throughout Texas, but it's hotter than hell in Wichita Falls.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Did you do any cycling while you were here?
You know, I did not. I will tell you, when I was a player, I would usually have a bicycle. So when I was in Washington, we were at Dickinson College, and I would bike from, you know, our dorm room over to the chow table, over to the training camp. You know, it was faster than driving and parking a car. And when we were at St. Edward's at in Austin,
right
there for a few years, I would just bicycle, all the way around. But no, in Wichita Falls, I was then not playing, just doing TV work, and I took the car.
Well, I know when a player hits a milestone or sets a record, you always want to know who's in that company. That tells you what that record or milestone means. Well, I want you to know, as guest at our Welcome Back Dinner, you're now joining the likes of Cliff Harris, Tony Dorsett, Ed Tootall Jones, Jay Novacek, Everson Wolves, Dan Reeves, Randy White, and Drew Pearson. That's pretty good company you're keeping.
That is very good company. You know, you remember the old highlights? I don't know if you're old enough, Pete, to remember It was a magazine. It was called Highlights. You read it.
Oh, in, like, sure. Yeah. Dentist, it used to be in the dentist office.
Yeah, exactly. As a kid, yes. And it would say, what is wrong? What's missing from this picture or something? Or what doesn't fit in this picture? And we do this at Tony Dorsett, Drew Pearson, Cliff Harris, all Hall of Famers, Babe Laufenberg. You would circle Babe's face and say, okay, that one. But that doesn't mean I won't be entertaining, Pete.
No, and we're looking forward to it. And we'll have a Q&A session with Babe on Sunday night. Again, dinner will be at 6 o'clock. We'll have some great barbecue for you from Ribs, Inc. And then we'll get a chance to visit with Babe. How often do you get a chance to talk to college football players?
Oh, well, my son was at UTEP. As you know, he passed away, but we've set up a big – We set up a nutrition station there. We do a fundraiser every year. It's a coffee fundraiser. I won't get into it too much, but Roger Staubach has been there every year. Trey Aikman's been there every year. And so we fund this nutrition station at University of Texas, El Paso. And I go out every year in the spring. And then usually I get to a training camp practice and I speak to the team there. And have a number. I do some quarterback coaching, Pete. Now, let me just tell you, I've never charged anyone, but I've got a number of quarterbacks out there, and one of them is a starter for Hawaii, has been for a couple of years now, a young man named Braden Shager, Highland Park High School quarterback, and you know, I'm biased, but I think he's really, really good. But so I do stay in touch. I mean, I follow a lot of teams now. My son went to Colorado. Didn't play football there. My other son, Joe Willie, and actually was a student assistant coach there. But anyway, so I kind of follow that for him. Now I'm following Hawaii. I'm following UTEP. I'll be following Midwestern State this year after I meet the players and the coaches. And yeah, and then of course you have coaches all over the place that you have an association with. So I follow a lot of the college game. I really do.
You mentioned the associations that you have around the country. And I guess football's been your whole life. You mentioned your son, Joe Willie. He's named after your hero, right?
Oh, he's named after Namath. He's named, yes. And I actually, Pete, have a photo with, and let me, I'll backtrack a little bit. So when I was playing in San Diego, Joe Namath was doing NBC broadcasts, which was the AFC at that time. And, so he did a couple of my games, was always very kind. And but I loved Joe. I loved Namath like growing up. That was right in my wheelhouse of, you know, being about 10 years old and right. Starting to follow things. I'm seeing this Namath guy. You know, I kind of loved him and, you know, obviously the personality that he has. So I got a chance to meet him when I was in Washington a number of times. And he was just always so kind. And I always said, there's a million Babe Laufenbergs in a guy like Joe Namath's life, but he treated you like you were the most important person in the world. You know, some people, they talk to you and they're looking for the next person
to talk to, the bigger name.
They want
a better deal with you, yeah.
Right, now, and he, you know, I'll never forget my rookie year, he comes up and he says, Jerry Rome was our quarterback coach, and he and Jerry came out actually in the same class, 1965. Jerry was Heisman runner-up at Tulsa, and of course, Joe was at Alabama, but so they'd known each other through the years. And he comes over and introduces me, and Joe Namath says, you know, hey, watch your throwing. He said, you throw a nice ball. So you throw a nice ball. And I'm, you know, Joe Namath saying you throw a nice ball is, you know, like Tony Gwynn saying, hey, you got a good stroke on that bat there. Or Sandy Koufax saying, hey, I like the way you pitch, you know.
And you had a chance to play some baseball, right?
I did. I was actually, hey, Pete, that was back in the day, too, when you played football, basketball, and baseball. You know, one sport ended and you went into the next, and obviously now it's a lot more specialized. But I was drafted, actually, out of high school by the San Francisco Giants, and I never signed, obviously. But and then I played baseball. When I was coming out of high school, I told all the schools, basically, that I wanted to play baseball as well. So USC had a great baseball program. Stanford had a great baseball program. So I went out I played baseball until spring football. That was one stipulation. Coach Walsh, I shouldn't say stipulation, but he said, you know, I'd love if you once spring football starts, you came out your freshman year. After that, you can you know, stay with the baseball end of things. But so that's what I did. I played up until spring football started my freshman year, and then went over to football.
What made you choose football over baseball?
You know, I it's funny. I liked, sounds crazy, I like the physicalness of it. I like getting hit. I like the players.
Well, you picked the right position then.
Yeah, I didn't like hitting. I like getting hit. But it sounds strange to anyone who hasn't done it. But I know when we get to, you know, when you get the opportunity to meet all the coaches and Midwestern State players, and they're going to just nod their head and say, yeah. And it's interesting talking to a couple of the rookies today, as a matter of fact, from the Cowboys. They got into their first game, and I said, how'd it go? And they said, you know, were you nervous? And of course you're nervous. And they said, you know, I just needed to get hit once, and then it all settled down, and I said, I'm just playing football. So there is that sick mind that says, you know, if I get hit, I'll feel a lot better. Right? So I'll never forget, too, one time I was doing an interview with Sean Lee, right? Cowboys linebacker, right. Great guy, great linebacker. And we're doing a little walk and talk, and I said, Sean, when did you know this football thing was for you? He said, I was 9 years old, and he said, I hit this kid so hard. And he said, I just loved it from that point forward. And I said, that's great, Sean, but you do know that the kid you hit quit football, right? He never played. He just said, I do not like this sport.
Yeah, that kid decided to play baseball.
Right, exactly.
You know, I
always point to also, I just think this won't go over big with baseball players, but there is a real toughness to football players, I think both physical and mental. And you think about one of the great World Series home runs, and it was Kirk Gibson coming off the bench, right, with a knee that he couldn't even stand up. And he homers off Dennis Eckersley. And I always think that if he were not a football player, and Kirk Gibson was going to be a first-round draft choice.
He was a tight end at Michigan State, right?
Tight end at Michigan State. Yeah, he was. I don't think he got drafted because he went to baseball, but he was going to be first-rounder, probably a top 15 pick, and obviously, you know, went to baseball. But I always think, I don't know if a baseball player could have done what he did in terms of really not being even able to stand up because of his knee, and then homering off Dennis Eckersley, who had not given up a home run all season long. It was crazy.
And, of course, NBC had that graphic up just before the home run went over the fence.
Oh, yeah, isn't that great? Yeah.
I know I wasn't a fan of all the Chris Berman nicknames, but he gave you the Sultan of Six.
Yeah,
which is a reference to Babe Ruth. I always thought that was one of his great nicknames. It had to be a kick for you to hear that the first time.
Oh, yeah. And I'm biased, of course, thinking, oh, that's a great nickname. But no, it was great. I remember coming home from a game or whatever, and, you know, we're like everybody else, right? And of course, you didn't have the Twitter where you could see all the plays and all that. And so you watch those highlights on ESPN, and there I am, and there he is, who I've been watching for the last whatever years, with the Sultan of Six. Unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of sixes in that Sultan, but
still a great nickname.
But it was a good nickname. Yeah, great nickname.
Babe, I'm looking so forward to talking to you more Sunday night, and talking about your career and your life and the impact that college football has had on you. And I hope everybody's looking forward to it as much as I am. We'll see you here Sunday night, 6 o'clock at D.L. Ligon Coliseum.
All right. Well, I will tell you, I don't know about the rest of the people, but I am looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Well, that's good to know. Babe Laufenberg, who's with the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network and a longtime NFL quarterback, he'll be our special guest at the Welcome Back Dinner Sunday night, 6 o'clock at D.L. Ligon Coliseum. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Stain Gang Podcast.